Morning, Pastor Heaton with you here on the Bible Baptist Hour. Hard to believe, but here we are. Yeah, you saw the calendar, didn't you? I don't even have to tell you. And it seems like we just get started with a year and we're getting over with it, doesn't it? Well, we're halfway through it and we think, where did the time go? Well, I don't know. I've lived 76 years and I can't tell you where the time went except every day passed away 1/1000th of a second at a time. And the next thing you know, you're graduated from high school, and then you're married, and then you're children, and there you are, grandpa, and now you're old. The kind of way it goes. New sermon for today. Death ends all. And you say, preacher, wait a minute. I thought you know, just bear with me. When we get there and we get it all done, you'll understand it, all right? Death ends all. We'll be in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. That's also where our song's going to come from today. And we hope that the message will be a blessing to you. 9:45 for Sunday school at the church, 11 o'clock for the morning service, and 6 o'clock for an evening service. Midweek is Thursday at 7 o'clock. We have teen time at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then we have youth time for the younger grades. I believe it's 5 to 12, something like that, on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And we invite you to come and participate, be a part of it. If you're looking for a church, give us a whirl. We may not be what you're looking for. Then again, we may be just exactly what you're looking for. So you won't know. If you listen to everybody else, of course, you'll get all kinds of stuff. But if you see it with your own eyes and listen with your own ears, that's where the truth will be, all right? Okay, so let's see here. Again, let me just say that we're new message today. Death Ends All is the title of it. Be three parts as usual, and we hope that you'll be with us each time and listen at the end of our program. Our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us, and would you please take it down and drop us a note in the mail. We don't get notes very much. We used to when we first started back in 1976 or 78. When we started back with then, we used to get quite a few, but we don't that much anymore. But I realize people don't write much anymore. They text and they send emails and so forth. And so maybe you'd be a surprise till you do something different. All right, let's get into the message. Before we do, the song Romans 5:12 from a youth group, and I'm not sure who they are, but I think you'll enjoy it. So let's get right to it. Don't forget, the end of our program, our announcer. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over all them that sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of them was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. For the free gift is of many offenses unto justification.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You will notice from verse 13 to the end of verse 17 is a parenthetical statement in relationship to what he says about death in verse 12. And then he says in verse 18, "For therefore," so in relationship to what was said, "as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men by condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where grace abounded," I'm sorry, "but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Now, Lord, certainly do not have any idea why this sermon, but I know that you have a reason, so I'll just do the best I can with it, and if I mess up, Lord, you cover it up, and make it known to whomever or whatever that they need this. And Lord, let a decision be made today that will honor and glorify your name. Forgive us where we failed you, for we've surely done a good share of that. And we do thank you for this day. Lord, you've been a blessing to us more than we realize. And Lord, we think about yesterday, just a beautiful day, Lord, a beautiful day. And we just had a good day of fellowship and some good singing. And, Lord, some good food. You're so good to us, Lord. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. So thank you. And I'll bless this time and help this preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. He says here in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I guess if there's a subject we don't care to discuss, it's death. Most of us do not make out a will or a trust. We do not make arrangements ahead of time for our funeral. And the reason is, we're not expecting to die today or in the next year. As a matter of fact, we have all talked with people who are well past the allotted time God gave them, and they weren't expecting to die any too soon. Most know that death brings finality to all that life offers. No dead man has ever asked for a drink of water, except after he got to hell. No dead man has ever set up at the casket and talked with you. Once he's dead, final. It's over. Done. Finished. Kaput. There are people who sit in churches for years and never get saved. Die and go to hell because they thought they had time. William Penn said, "He who lives to live forever never fears death." He who lives to live forever never fears death. Why? If you're going to live forever, why would you be afraid of death? I guess that's where our forefathers in the Dark Ages had us beat. They were living forever, so chop their head off. It didn't matter. You were just ending the life here. You wasn't ending life. Some unknown person wrote, "The fear of death is canceled by faith in Christ." Another remarked, "A man's conception of death will determine his philosophy of life." What you think about death will determine how you live your life. Someone saw this epitaph inscribed on a headstone: "Dying is the last thing I expected to do." You can take that anywhere you want it. I think there are some things about death that I want to talk to you about this morning. It isn't all the things, and I don't even know why these things, but, well, we'll address them anyways. Let's turn to Job chapter 5. Job 5. You know, the words coming from Job are oftentimes taken more serious than the words coming from Solomon. Sometimes a wise man gives us advice, not always because he's a wise man. He just gives advice because he's seen it happen. Job is a man living in the advice he's giving. There's a difference. Solomon was a rich man and a wise man, and some of the advice he gave could only be understood by a poor man. Job is giving you advice from a man in suffering. And he says here in verse 7, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." You ever sit around a campfire and took a stick, poked it in there, and watched all the sparks fly up? Well, that's your life, bud. As the sparks fly up from the fire, so is trouble in your life. Have you ever said something like this? Wow, does it ever end? And the answer is no. And you may say, boy, I've had enough trouble last me for... Job describes our troubles as sparks that fly upward. They're here, they're gone, and then they're there again. Some more is added to it. So let's look at this. What does death do for the saint? Well, death ends all the troubles of this life. Now, let me say this. That is kind of the philosophy of somebody who takes their own life. But we're not talking about that. Okay? What we're talking about is the fact is that whatever troubles that we have in this life, when we die, the next life has no troubles in it. This life has the trouble. Now, let's look over chapter 14 a minute in Job here. Let's see something else Job says, very profound. Very profound. Two things Job says regarding trouble, and they're very profound. Because a man, and Job was a rich man, you know. He was a rich man, a wise man. Shoot evil. Buddy, I'll tell you what, the Lord sure gave him a load, bucket load of trouble. Amen. Now he says here in 14:1, man that is born of a woman, and that should, it should include all of us in here. If it doesn't, please don't tell me. Okay. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and what? Full of trouble. I don't like that verse any more than you like that verse. But it's a verse that assures us of something, that as long as you're in this life, it's going to have trouble. There's no way to escape trouble. People say, well, I'll just get a lot of money. Well, you talk about trouble, you're probably going to have more at that point than you had before. Then you got to deal with the tax man. And right now, he's kind of in hot water. I'm glad to hear the tax man's finally in hot water. Amen? Yeah. I'm glad to hear the IRS is having trouble. Amen? I knew you're not supposed to be happy when your enemy has trouble, but I'm having a real hard time with that right now. Amen? I have a real hard time. I'm going to take that verse out of my Bible for a while. I'm just not even going to pretend it's in there. But I'm telling you, life is full of trouble. It, you know, the water heater goes on this, I don't know what it said, on a kick. You know what that is? These dumb, stupid electronics. They're made to be smart, but they're dumb. You know, these two little lights come on and the thing, so I get out the trouble thing, go down there, and oh, okay. So I push one and I push the other one, they don't go off. So I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to have to take this thing off of here. Well, the water heater, if you buy a new one, the one I've got, if you go buy a new one, they're $886. No. The part, it's because it's a power vent. I have it vented outside of my house, not up the chimney, so it has a little bit more equipment on it. But the way my basement is, that's the best way for me to do it, all right? So I'm not complaining about the cost of the water heater. It's that little part down there that controls the brain part of it. That's $419. Now, I did find one a little cheaper than that, but what I'm saying is life's full of troubles. That happens, and then, you know, the check engine light comes on in the car. Now, I solved that in a Pontiac I had. I just took the light bulb out of the dash. The light went off. 2 years later, my car wouldn't start, but the light went off. So the light comes on, so I take it into to the garage, and the man does the series on it, and he comes back out, and he says, well, I finally found the trouble. And the word finally, you know, that just says something.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's kind of like the doctor, well, I finally have done all I can do, you know. And where you put the gas in, there's just a little hole there somewhere, Dan. And the check engine light came on. And it was $304 to have that part fixed. You say, what did you do? I told him, put the gas cap back on and back it out of the garage. Right. Yeah. Say, why? I don't care if the check engine light's on as long as the car's running.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, could anything but worse happen? Well, yeah, but I won't explain that part to you. I mean, about the time you think you got it solved, then you find out you don't.
Yep.
Can I tell you something, folks? I don't care if you're the preacher. I don't care if you're sitting in the pew. I don't care if you're the president.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't care if you're the governor. I don't care who you are. Life is full of trouble on this side of the grave.
Yep.
Get used to it.
Amen.
The only time that's going to end up for you is when the Lord takes that last breath and stops that heart from beating and you get in on the other side. Trouble will be over.
Amen.
It's going to be over. I wish I could tell you that in this life, once you pass, you know, I love getting old. Not really, but I love all the plans. AARP, golden years. Enjoy your life. You know what? If you look at the advertisements, I mean, how many of you guys really want to go around pulling a toilet? I mean, wake up. Now, you understand that as you get older, you don't get better, you get worse. And as you get older, the parts that were so well, work so well when you were 30, they just ain't working that well anymore. They get rusty. They break. They get leaks. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, when you get older, if you listen to the world, when you get older, you're supposed to enjoy those years. Everything's supposed to be better. Yeah, you enjoy them sitting in there reading Outdoor Life at the doctor's office. Reading Outdoor Life or Reader's Digest or something, you know, how to stay well when you're 60. At the hospital. Why? Because life is full of trouble. If it's not the gas prices, it'll be the food price. If it's not the food prices, it'll be the doctor's office just raise the prices. If it's not that, there'll be something wrong with your car. If it's not that, one of your kids has gotten sick and they can't discover what it is. So you might as well just understand, this life is full of trouble. Now, Sister Lineball, you and Brother Neil have lived a long time together. And one thing that I'm sure that both of you can testify to is that you've never had any troubles. Yeah. Neil says, why do you think this kid's sitting in between us? Oh, that's because it's Grandpa, that's why, yeah. I'm just saying, if we could eliminate trouble, this wouldn't be a bad life, right?
Right.
Well, we're going to. And you can't imagine what that life's going to be like.
Amen.
But on this side, buckle your seatbelt. One of the worst things we can do is to have an unrealistic expectation that life will be without trouble. This fellow is a counselor. He said, several years ago, I had a young couple in my office who wanted me to perform their wedding. I told them to do so would require them to complete our premarital counseling. The girl looked at me and said, oh, we won't need that. I know that other couples have problems in their marriage, but we won't. We love each other too much. And they looked at each other all starry-eyed, and I wanted to say, boy, you don't know much about how much you need counseling. Yeah, you can't imagine over my years of marrying folks and how much advice I've given out. Then, no, it ain't going to be that way. It's not. We're different. I'm going, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're like anybody else. You're just like the preacher. I have trouble with my wife. You're like the preacher's wife, lady. You have trouble with your husband. Now, some of you are very spiritual. I understand that. You just won't admit that you have trouble, but you do. And it doesn't take too long, does it? Just a few days afterwards. I'm not making light of marriage. I'm not making light of any of it. I'm trying to tell you, I don't care what church you were raised in, how good your mom and daddy were. I don't care about anything that goes on in this life. I don't care how spiritual you are, how much you read your Bible, how many hours you pray. Trouble is a part of life. And no two people can live together and not have trouble. We don't think alike all the time. She thinks too much, I think too little. And that, Arnie, is grounds for trouble. Because I am a man. And I don't like a woman telling me what I didn't do. I don't like her questioning what I did. Amen. Now, for some of you who won't admit to that, grow up. And she probably doesn't like it when I don't like it. I'm just telling you that there is no perfect scenarios, no perfect marriages, no perfect churches, no perfect people. There is no perfect place on the earth. Well, I'm just going to move to, well, trouble will follow you. And if you don't, it's probably already been there before you got there anyways. So get used to it, saint. This is, if you live 70 years and that's all the trouble you have, that's nothing compared to eternity where there isn't any. So what does death do for you and me? It ends all the troubles of life.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listened by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.